Hello, and welcome to Physics Unlocked, the podcast that turns tricky GCSE topics into exam success. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep, quite literally, into one of the most fascinating topics on the OCR GCSE physics specification, seismic waves, topic 4.1. Whether you're revising for your foundation or higher tier paper, this episode has everything you need. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Imagine you're standing on the surface of the Earth, and somewhere thousands of kilometers away, a massive earthquake strikes. Within minutes, invisible waves are rippling through the entire planet, through solid rock, through liquid metal, through the very heart of the Earth, and seismographs all around the world are picking them up. Scientists have used these waves to map the inside of our planet without ever drilling more than a few kilometers deep. That is the power of seismic waves. And for your OCR GCSE physics exam, understanding these waves could be worth several marks, including some of the most rewarding level of response questions on the paper. Let's make sure you're ready. Let's start with the basics. There are two main types of seismic waves you need to know: P waves and S waves. P stands for primary. P waves are the first to arrive at a seismograph station after an earthquake because they travel faster. They are longitudinal waves, meaning the particles in the medium vibrate back and forth in the same direction as the wave is traveling. Think of it like a slinky spring being pushed and pulled along its length. You get compressions, where the coils are squashed together, and rarefactions, where they're spread apart. P waves can travel through solids and liquids. This is a crucial point. Remember it. S stands for secondary. S waves arrive second because they're slower. They are transverse waves. The particles vibrate at right angles, perpendicular to the direction of wave travel. Think of shaking a rope up and down. The wave moves forward, but the rope moves side to side. Here's the critical difference. S waves can only travel through solids. They cannot travel through liquids. This single fact is the key to understanding the Earth's structure. Now, let me give you a memory hook that OCR examiners love to see students use. Remember the four S's. S waves are secondary. They cause shear motion, they travel through solids only, and they're slower. Secondary, shear, solids only, slower. Say it with me. Secondary, shear, solids only, slower. Brilliant. That mnemonic alone could save you marks. Now let's talk about what happens when these waves travel through the Earth. You might think they travel in straight lines, but they don't. They curve. Why? Because of refraction. As seismic waves travel deeper into the Earth, the density of the rock increases. Higher density means higher wave speed. When a wave moves from a less dense layer into a more dense layer, it speeds up. And this causes it to bend, just like light bends when it moves from air into glass. But because the density change in the mantle is gradual rather than sudden, the bending is continuous, producing a smooth, curved path rather than a sharp kink. This is called continuous refraction, and it's why wave paths through the mantle look like gentle arcs rather than straight lines. If you're asked to draw wave paths in an exam, your lines must be curved, not straight, through the mantle. Drawing straight lines through the mantle is one of the most common mistakes candidates make, and it will cost you marks. Now, here's where it gets really interesting: the shadow zones. When seismologists set up seismograph stations all around the Earth and recorded earthquakes, they noticed something strange. There were certain regions on the opposite side of the Earth from an earthquake where seismic waves simply weren't detected or were detected only weakly. These are called shadow zones, and they tell us something profound about the Earth's interior. Let's think about S waves first. S waves travel outward from the earthquake epicenter, curving through the mantle, but at a certain point, they hit the outer core. Because S waves cannot travel through liquids and the outer core is liquid, they are completely absorbed. They stop dead. This creates a large S-wave shadow zone on the far side of the Earth, covering roughly the region between 103 degrees and 180 degrees from the epicenter. No S-waves are detected in this zone at all. The conclusion? The outer core must be liquid. P-waves behave differently. They can travel through the liquid outer core, but when they enter it, they refract sharply because the speed changes dramatically at the core-mantle boundary. This sharp refraction bends the P waves inward, away from the surface, creating a P wave shadow zone between about 103 and 143 degrees from the epicenter. However, and this is important, P waves are detected beyond 143 degrees because they pass through the inner core and emerge on the other side. The fact that P waves do eventually get through, but S waves never do, is the evidence that tells us the outer core is liquid, but the inner core is solid. Let's recap the Earth's layers quickly. The crust is the thin outer layer, solid rock, just tens of kilometers thick. Below that is the mantle, solid but able to flow very slowly like a very thick liquid over geological timescales. Then comes the outer core, liquid iron and nickel responsible for the S-wave shadow zone. And at the very center is the inner core, solid iron and nickel, extremely hot and under enormous pressure. The wave speed equation you need is wave speed equals frequency multiplied by wavelength. In symbols, V equals F times lambda. Speed is measured in meters per second, frequency in hertz, and wavelength in meters. This formula is given on your formula sheet, so you don't need to memorize it, but you do need to know how to use it. For example, if a P wave has a frequency of 2 hertz and a wavelength of 4,000 meters, its speed is 2 times 4,000, which equals 8,000 meters per second, or 8 kilometers per second.
Right. Let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. First, command words. If a question says state, give a brief factual answer, one or two words or a short phrase. P waves are longitudinal is a perfect state answer. If it says describe, explain what happens using correct scientific terminology. If it says explain, you must give a reason. Use the word because to link cause and effect. For example, S waves are not detected in the shadow zone because S waves cannot travel through liquids and the outer core is liquid. See how that links observation to deduction? That's what OCR examiners are looking for. For level of response questions, the longer 4, 5, or 6 mark questions, you need to build a chain of reasoning. Don't just list facts, link them. A top band answer might say, seismograph stations on the far side of the Earth from an earthquake do not detect S waves. This is because S waves are transverse waves that can only travel through solids. The S wave shadow zone exists because S waves are absorbed when they reach the outer core. This provides evidence that the outer core is liquid, as only a liquid layer would prevent S waves from passing through.
Common mistakes to avoid. Number one, saying S waves travel through liquids. They do not. Only P waves travel through liquids. Number two, drawing straight wave paths through the mantle. They must be curved. Number three, confusing the outer core and inner core. The outer core is liquid. That's why the S wave shadow zone exists. The inner core is solid. Number four, forgetting to link the observation to the conclusion. Don't just say there's a shadow zone. Explain what it tells us about the Earth's structure. One more tip. If you're asked about the speed of waves changing, always link it to density. Higher density means higher speed for seismic waves. Time for a quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one. Are P waves longitudinal or transverse? They are longitudinal. Question two. Can S waves travel through liquids? No. S waves can only travel through solids. Question three. Why do seismic wave paths curve through the mantle? Because density increases with depth, causing the wave speed to increase and the waves to refract continuously. Question 4. What does the S-wave shadow zone tell us about the outer core? It tells us the outer core is liquid because S-waves cannot travel through liquids. Question 5. What is the wave speed equation? Wave speed equals frequency times wavelength, or V equals F times lambda. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If not, go back and review the core concepts section. Let's wrap up with the key points to take away from today's episode. 1. P waves are primary, longitudinal, and travel through solids and liquids. S waves are secondary, transverse, and travel through solids only. 2. Seismic wave paths curve through the mantle due to continuous refraction caused by increasing density with depth. 3. The S-wave shadow zone exists because S-waves cannot travel through the liquid outer core. 4. The P-wave shadow zone exists because P-waves are sharply refracted at the core-mantle boundary. 5. The pattern of shadow zones provides evidence for the Earth's layered structure. Solid mantle, liquid outer core, solid inner core. And remember the 4 S's. Secondary, shear, solids only, slower. That mnemonic is your best friend in the exam. Thank you so much for listening to Physics Unlocked. If you found this helpful, make sure you test yourself using the practice questions in your study guide. Retrieval practice is one of the most effective revision strategies there is. Good luck with your revision, and remember, every mark counts. See you next time.